Heber, and welcome to the February Patron's Choice podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm March.
And welcome to the show. Yes, it is March for the February Patron's Choice. But the reason being is the thing that got the most votes was the show we're going to talk about today, 11-22-63. But we had, Jack and I hadn't watched it at all, so we needed some time to actually watch the show so we could talk about it. But I'm glad we did watch the show because this is definitely right up our alley. So good choice, patrons.
Yes. I'm glad you made me watch it.
Because, you know, it's not that I didn't want to watch it. It's a J.J. Abrams produced show. It's based on a Stephen King story. I honestly didn't even know anything about it.
If I would have noticed the date, I kept thinking the date was 11-23-63. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, that's what I was thinking. I go, oh, I'll get to it eventually.
You wanna, 23 is one of the numbers. You were just projecting.
Is that what it was? J.J. Abrams, and I think. So I'm not really putting two and two together. And I go, so when I start watching and I see, I go, oh, okay. I have the wrong date.
But yeah, I mean, not knowing much about it, I saw it was maybe a show in the 60s or something. But actually watching the pilot episode definitely got hooked pretty early, so I'm excited to talk about it here. And for everyone listening to this show, this is the Patron's Choice podcast. So for anybody that contributes at $5 or more a month, you get exclusive access to this show. And it's voted by you on our Facebook page. So if you haven't gone on our exclusive patrons Facebook page yet, please do. It's like we would do special votes and usually exclusive first links, first news breaks we put on there. So anybody that's a patron at $5 or more a month gets access to this podcast and that Facebook page. So if you are getting this podcast, it means you are at that level. If you haven't gotten access to the Facebook page, feel free to get in touch with Carlene at one of our emails. JaneJackTV@gmail.com maybe is the one she follows. I don't know. Is that the one?
That's the one. That's the one you should shoot for.
Nonetheless, thank you to our
patrons.
Unless
you go back in time, then you have to do the Lost podcast.
Well, that one, we'd still find it. It's not the end of the world. It's just, you know, Colleen's more on top of things than I am, so better her than me. But anyway, thank you to the patrons for making these shows possible. And beyond that, all of the shows that we do, which I'm assuming you listen to them if you have this podcast, but we wouldn't be able to do the multitude of shows that we're putting out there right now for everybody to listen to without your generous contributions. So we're very thankful for that. Other news and updates, we've officially confirmed the date for our podcast-a-thon charity podcast weekend. So it'll be April the 22nd through the 24th. So if you want to make the trek to Raleigh, that is the weekend that we are doing it. And we have a few different things we're going to be doing this year, or maybe making things more official. But Friday, we usually kind of have a dinner with everybody. Once you get into town, we kind of have like a get together dinner where everybody kind of hangs out and, you know, says hi. And then
hi.
Saturday is our podcast-a-thon. Which generally we shoot for 12 hours, but ends up being something more when Jack has to get all the people shoved into the time slots. But that is when we will be trying to raise money for charity. And then Sunday is usually like a cookout, usually at our house. But we'll be doing that again this year, but something a little bit different is for the past few years, we've done just kind of an impromptu Game of Thrones viewing party because it seemed to have always kind of fallen on that weekend. I think we're going to do something a little bit special this year because last year we brought back the Game of Thrones podcast and we added our dear friend Nick.
Let's don't overdo it with dear friend.
But was a
we
great.
Know him. We put up with him.
But he was a great addition to the show and really, I think, made the Game of Thrones podcast a lot of fun to podcast. But also, just even for me as a fan of the show and having his input and perspective, I think was. I was asking him questions and finding out things that I was really excited about. So
that I'll agree with.
So what we're going to do is do a viewing party for the season premiere. And then Jack and I will be doing a live Game of Thrones podcast with Nick, who should be coming as well. So the three of us will be doing a live Game of Thrones podcast after the East Coast premiere. So we'll be streaming that live as well if you can't make it to our podcast-a-thon weekend. So should be a lot of fun. More details to come when they do come, but we did want to get that weekend, those dates out there, so that way if you were planning on making the trek to Raleigh, North Carolina, the Triangle, as it's known, we want to make sure we gave you enough time to do that, but pretty exciting stuff. Anything else, Jack?
That's it. When you mentioned Raleigh, that's enough.
Hey, you know, you criticize Raleigh, but Raleigh is a lot going
on. Am I criticizing it? No, I said you mentioned Raleigh, you said it all.
But
you say Paris. People go, I got it.
If Jack is a little subdued today, it might be because he has had the sickness going on over.
I had the sickness.
This show was supposed to be posted earlier, but Jack was too sick yesterday to record.
I was sick the whole month of February.
I don't think you've. I'm trying to recall, like when I don't think you've ever called out sick before on a podcast. I'm trying to remember.
I don't think so.
Like just straight up, I can't record. Like I don't remember.
I just
you
didn't.
Might
I,
have.
Just, I might have, but it maybe said, "Hey, can we just push it back later?" But this one, I was like, "There's no way."
I mean, you didn't even text. My mom texted me. I was like, "Whoa." It must be rough if she's texting.
It was a rough day yesterday. Rough day.
But we're glad to have you here.
No sleep. No sleep whatsoever.
Hopefully you have enough Imodium.
It was whatnot. More than that. It was just everywhere.
Well, I'm just saying now you have enough, you know, medicine to at least.
No, I'm just going to do a Jake. I'll go to the drugstore and get me some diapers. Oh,
spoiler alert.
How far people we've watched we're going to talk about the first four episodes, right?
Yes. So
that was the second episode.
I think so. Yes. Second episode.
And that really isn't that big a spoiler. I mean, he does go to the drugstore and get some diapers.
Well,
to give him credit, he doesn't go to the self-serve because he can't.
Well,
he has to go straight to the guy and go, yeah, I know, I got this. I don't need the just sell me the diapers, all right?
Well, why don't we get into the show discussion here, Jack? What do you say? But if you are listening to this, we are going to cover the first four episodes of the series because that is what has actually been aired on Hulu. This is a Hulu exclusive show.
You can't binge it.
Hulu is not making this bingeable.
But I would tell you right now, it would be binge-worthy.
Very much so. Very much so. So the episodes that have released so far is The Rabbit Hole, The Kill Floor, Other Voices, Other Rooms, and The Eyes of Texas. It is an 8-episode miniseries, so this will take you through the halfway point of the series.
So this show's going to wrap. It's not going to – after 8 episodes, we'll know what's going on, right?
Exactly. So it's – 8 episodes and done, since it's based off of a book. So it's kind of, it's a mini series.
All right.
So we will go from there. All right, Jack, you ready to jump in?
Yes.
All right, let's start off with the pilot episode here, The Rabbit Hole, in which we are introduced to the cafe owner, Al Templeton, played by the wonderful Chris Cooper.
Who was in?
A lot of things.
The Patriot.
Yes, he was in The Patriot.
Because there was another actor. It's in The Patriot.
You're a big fan of that. What's that?
Who is it?
I don't know.
Harry.
Harry.
He was in Deadwood.
Yeah.
Leon Rippey.
Ah, okay.
Harry Dunning. It was in
The
Patriot.
Oh, that's right. He is in that. You're right. Good call.
Holy Ghost.
So it starts out like a fairly, you know, innocuous kind of start following the title or the main character, Jake Epping, who's played by James Franco, who's a teacher. It starts out with Harry Dunning's story about the death of his mother and siblings, which again
it just gets you right. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Jack and I talk about those kind of opening scenes in a pilot that bring you into the show. You know, talk about Justified or Lost or. Just really good opening.
It hits you right away. I mean, it's pretty graphic,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty believable, and pretty sad to be. It's the whole thing. It's a sad situation.
Yep.
Anyone have problems with James Franco's acting in the beginning?
So, you know, in reading the reviews for the show, Jeff Jensen, who is a friend of the show from Entertainment Weekly.
And a fellow writer.
And yeah, sure. Fellow writer.
Hey, I can say that.
But his one criticism was of Franco's performance, calling it low watt and disinterested. I wasn't upset, or I didn't
see that review, but at the beginning I'm like going, all right, does he just not care? Mm-hmm. But then I realized, oh, this is the character. This is who he's playing.
Yeah.
After about 30 minutes, I started going, okay, the story is so good that I'm not really paying attention to his acting style. Then I kind of went, okay, but now I'm fine. Except when he gets mad. It's hard to see. I don't know if it's because you see him from Pineapple Express and other movies. And I know he's done other movies, like it was 127 Hours and stuff like that. I think he's a fantastic actor, but at first I was having trouble with, I didn't realize that Jeff Jensen said that, but I was having trouble with his acting style.
Well, so is it the character, or I wasn't upset by it. I can see the criticism there, but I felt like it was at least in line with the character.
I said, is he just taking this? Because he's done other jobs. He did the soap opera for a while. I mean, he does a lot of stuff. I go, is he? But I think that's just how they want him to play him. So I think that's just his character. Once the story got going, I'm all in, and I take back what I said. But at first, I was like, he's terrible. But then I got into it. So I apologize, James Franco.
So after that, he's at a cafe where there's Al Templeton's the owner. And then he finalizes a divorce with his wife. But then when Al comes back, he seems to go in the back, and he comes back out. He looks like older and haggard and is dying, apparently.
He kind of looked like me. Pre-Sunday. I went somewhere and then I came back and I looked haggard and old.
I was like, that's weird. That seems like, I was like, from a continuity, I was like, well, that's not right. He didn't look that way going back there. And it's like, duh. Well, of course.
How did Jake not notice?
I think he did. I think it was just kind of like, whoa, what's going on?
I like the comment his wife made about, I wouldn't eat those $1.25 hamburgers.
Yeah.
Which comes later on in the
story. It does. So then we find out that he is dying of cancer, and then he shows him a time portal through a closet that takes him to October 21st, 1960, which is relevant because in Harry's story, he talks about it was Halloween night of 1960 in which his father killed his mother and siblings. The cafe owner wants to prevent the assassination of JFK. Right. Now, as he wants to use this time portal to do that.
Am I podcasting with Russ?
I'm sorry. I got like a frog in my throat. I apologize. Okay. as somebody that lived during this time, somebody that was probably a little bit younger than Harry was in this, because you're born in 62. So, yes.
And I have seen JFK live.
But you don't, you don't remember the assassination really.
No, I was one in a few months.
So
did it cut into my cartoon time? Probably.
Plus my
mom, like a lot of people her age at that time, were in love with JFK.
Well, cause it's interesting kind of thinking about it, but when you, or at least for me, like I wasn't from that time. But when I think of JFK, I think of he almost becomes like this mythic person. Like he's not even a real person anymore.
No.
Like it's hard to think of him as a living, breathing person beyond this kind of mythic character.
Because most people feel cheated. What could have been? What, you know?
Well, because then I realized he had a short, like it was only 60 through 63, so he didn't have a full first term.
No. He made mistakes early, but he was correcting the course and.
But I think just as somebody like inspires a group of people, that's what he did. But
right, and he did.
Do you agree with Al's desire to prevent the assassination that it'll change everything if that happens?
Part of his thing is he says because Johnson escalated Vietnam,
and Kennedy, Al was a Vietnam vet.
I think he was a Vietnam vet because of when he went back in time, right?
No. He was a vet. In his youth, he wasn't a vet because he went back in time. He was old when he went back in time.
Yeah, I guess. I'm trying to figure out how old. I was trying to figure out the different age, because in 63 to 2016...
Well, we don't know his age in 60, 62.
So
we
he's
know
probably
that.
Older. Let's see, how old is Chris Cooper? Yeah, he's born in 51, so yeah, so he'd been 11.
Yeah, so 14. he was in the Vietnam War before going back in time.
It's probably when he's like 18 or 19, like 68, 60. All right, so his theory is that if Kennedy isn't killed, Johnson never becomes president or doesn't become president then, and he doesn't escalate. Vietnam doesn't get escalated, and all those soldiers don't die.
Plus,
and also,
Bobby Kennedy doesn't run for.
So here's my theory.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of the story is they need to know if Lee Harvey Oswald is actually killed. Should they kill him to prevent the murder?
Yeah.
Or was he just a Ponzi like he claims? Okay, here's what I do. I kill Johnson. Right, because we know he escalated the war, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I kill Sirhan, because we know he killed Bobby Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go through this whole. Just go back and just find him.
But
and
yeah,
kill him,
I don't think you. It's, I don't think Johnson was necessarily a bad person that deserves to die.
Well, I'm just saying, if you want to stop it, then
that's. I guess that's it.
He picks someone else.
It would be a short.
But then also,
go ahead.
It'd be a short miniseries, but also I would think if I'm Oliver Stone, I'd be really against this because two of his more popular movies, Platoon and JFK.
Yeah.
Where would he be without those two movies?
It's true, but
I think
Oliver
Stone
still, but JFK
really,
would still be
I think Oliver's. I think Oliver's up there to, yeah, but I guess he would be. So I guess he could still have JFK.
That's what I'm saying. So you would have to, without JFK... You know, I mean, who knows? Who knows? But
if you're gonna kill Johnson and Sirhan, what's one more? You go ahead and kill Lee Harvey Oswald.
But if you kill Lee Harvey, you don't have to kill Johnson, right?
Well, you do because you don't know for sure if Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK.
Okay, so killing Johnson's like your contingency.
Yeah, you'd be just. Cover all your bases.
Okay. Okay. I feel like you're very I
don't think I'm committing a federal offense by saying killing Johnson because he wasn't president back then.
Okay. Okay. Because I'm sure you're like pinging
he wasn't president.
CIA, FBI servers or something.
I'm sure the TSA, or not TSA, but I'm sure they're listening to this going, but it might help us in our podcast. Tips.
I don't know if I agree with your kind of crackpot, just kill them all approach, but that's when we kind of find out the core of this series is that, you know, Al can't go back again. He's already there for 2 years. Time seems to push back. I guess it's giving him cancer. So he's dying. He can't fulfill what he wanted to do. So he wants Jake to do it for him. And actually when they're back in time, when he comes back, it's only been 2 minutes. Of time passed, so even though you spend as long as you want, when you come back, it's only 2 minutes have passed. Now they didn't define if you actually come back aged, which I assume is the case, since Al still had cancer when he came back. So even though you spend 2 years there, it's only been 2 minutes. You're still 2 years older, so you can't necessarily live a full life, then come back 2 minutes later and live another life.
I think he got cancer because it's the course correction, trying to prevent you from changing the future.
Exactly. Well, he even said that was the case why he got cancer.
Right.
And then if he went back in time, did something, came back, if he went back again, it would erase everything that did. So once he comes back, he would have to never go back in time again. Which then it would be like he would have to destroy the portal, essentially, to prevent anybody else from messing it up. Because somebody could just accidentally walk into the past and then, you know, screw it all up. Right.
Right.
Like the guy with the
newspaper thing on his head. Just asking me. I'm not supposed to be. Okay, why? Who are you? Why don't you ask this guy why?
Who am I? Why am I here?
But no, wouldn't you just go, if you bumped into this guy two or three times, would you go, okay, why am I not supposed to be here?
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. But then, so that's kind of the gist of the story and where it's going. And I think what kind of brought me in is just I love a good conspiracy, and there is can you argue that there's very few conspiracies that are greater than the JFK assassination, like just in terms of intrigue?
Oh, it's one of the best ever,
right?
Because if you've seen Oliver Stone's JFK, I think he does a very very good job of. Well, he's pretty good at taking half truths and trying to make it true. But I thought the movie was well done. But he took things that people, you know, you have the Zapruder film, where at that time, for someone to have film of anything like that was rare. Not like today, where someone, you know, you do anything, there's a camera, there's cameras on you, and it's on TMZ or whatever it is. So anyway, it just seemed like it is the perfect conspiracy.
So
like you said, there's so many people that wonder what would have happened if JFK would have lived.
Yeah. Yeah. So like from premise, right? So it's like, okay, what if JFK would have lived? That's a great thing. Or it'd be interesting to go back in time and see everything leading up to it, because there's so many conspiracy theories about the JFK assassination that being a fly on the wall for a lot of that stuff would be like getting those, I want some freaking answers, you know, from a lost perspective. Because, you know, when is that supposed to come out where... I think it was in JFK, that the movie Oliver Stone's JFK, where it's like in so and so many years they release all of the files. Like, did that happen yet? To like unveil everything?
No, I don't think so. It's supposed to happen after, is it Garrison? So many years after he died. It's after somebody dies so many years.
Okay.
I thought.
And maybe there's a JFK conspiracy expert that can. Put stuff in, but so there's kind of the setup or his prep for it. He's going through everything that he's done, all the research that Al has done to prepare for what he's going to do. There's some good kind of Back to the Future logic where he has all the sports scores for everything so he can bet and make some money.
Was definitely Back to the Future there.
Right, yeah. So just some classic time travel type stuff. And then he... but then, you know, James Franco's like, I can't, I don't want to do it. You know, classic kind of whatever. But then he comes back in the morning and Al is dead. So he's like, all right, he's dead. I got to do it now because he's dead. And he can't appreciate the work that I could have done if he was still alive. So whatever. So he goes back in time and it plays on that kind of classic going back in time montage and how much better things were in the 60s.
Yeah, like he was eating the apple pie, and it was the best apple pie he's ever had. So, you know, and milk was real, and just everything, you know, everything was real.
Well, again, I didn't live back then, apparently, when everything was better, so I can't verify.
Yeah, I grew up in a time where McDonald's came around, all the fast food places came around that killed everything.
Well, there's McDonald's back then in the early 60s.
Yeah, but it wasn't
the 50s.
But it wasn't common for people to go to a fast food restaurant.
Gotcha. So you're saying there wasn't all the fake food there is today. Back then it was real.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was on every street corner that you would go to. I mean, it was a big deal to go to a McDonald's or a Jack in the Box or when Burger King came out. It was a big deal. Hey, we're going out. Okay, yay.
It starts out with that kind of like cute, oh, he's back in time. Things are a lot cheaper. Things taste better, yada, yada, yada. But then kind of comes the actual task of, preventing the assassination. But he's got to make some money, and he wastes it on a pretty nice convertible. So he's got to do some gambling.
And he's doing everything the opposite of what Al told him to do.
Yes, yes.
He buys the convertible, bright yellow convertible, instead of buying, you know, something that's not good. He's like Magnum P.I. with the Ferrari. Buying something standing, you know, obviously it's going to stick out.
Yeah.
It was a sweet ride, though.
It definitely was. But again, yeah, everybody's going to see you and know who you are.
Now, do you think he did it because, you know, he's going back in time. He's eating the apple pie. Everything's so good. He looks at the car and goes, yeah, most of us would do the same thing.
Yeah, I think he's just being stupid.
Do I get the DeSoto or do I get the classic, you know, convertible car that's looks nice?
Got the fins, you know, but no, I think he's just being, you know,
but it's because you're You got to ask yourself, what car would James Dean get?
That's what I ask myself.
And obviously, the ones that smashed up. Too soon?
Oh, no.
Too soon? What? Wait, what? What?
Come on. That's too soon. Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon. But anyway, then it kind of goes to him, making this bet, and, you know, he wins the bet, and, you know, that doesn't go so well, but he escapes. But then it kind of gets into him actually trying to, he goes to Texas, and you see the grassy knoll and the book depository. Again, it's something, right. if you're a fan of history, if you're a fan, not I don't know if fan's the right word, but if you have interest in the Kennedy assassination, this is all stuff you know. So, like, kind of seeing it was interesting, you know, in the 60s. Would you say so?
I would say I would like to go see it.
And then he kind of bumps into Sadie, who is this married person, as we know her right then. But Sadie Dunhill, and I just love her character. Even though this is kind of a slight introduction to her, I find her character awesome.
It's because she's attractive?
Just gorgeous. Downright gorgeous. But I think she's also just very sweet, and like her relationship and Jake Eppings and Jake Epping and Sarah Gadden is her name, and Sadie, the character she plays. I feel like their chemistry is pretty good.
Would agree with you 100%.
So I think it does ground Franco's performance in this, and then also just kind of the story. It gives it some, beyond just like this conspiracy thriller, it grounds, or at least it gives him something to lose, which I think gives it more weight.
But is he playing with fire here?
I think so, yeah.
Because you're like going, if he has a relationship, he has to stay with he has
does
to
he
stay
bring
back
her
in
to
that
the future
kind of, or does he stay in that time frame?
I mean, there's two ways to go
or
about it,
does
right?
it or does course correction end up killing, does she die?
Right, so I think that's why I think that relationship's really good, because it does give, you know, real ramifications, you know, for things.
Is it come down to where he can actually kill Oswald? But he has to choose between saving Sadie's life. He has to give up on his plans for the course correction. So he has to give up on that. Says, okay, no, I love Sadie more than I love JFK.
Well, does he even care about JFK? Right. This is Al's mission.
It's Al's thing. It's Al's thing. But now through four episodes, he's all in.
Because like James Franco is a few years older than me, but I would assume it's kind of the same perspective. Like for me, it's like JFK is not a real person. I didn't grow up with that. Again, I respect for who he is and his importance in history, but it's not like my life is any different. Right? My life is firmly entrenched.
But
all
the time and effort JFK that he's
world.
Put it, that we've seen so far that he's put into this.
Oh, I agree. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying.
Does he just go, okay, I gotta say, Sadie is my, I love Sadie. She's my soulmate. Or do I kill Lee Harvey and save the president? Do I change the future for what could be the better and save all those lives? We know that, and except the escalating of the Vietnam War killed a lot of people. I mean, a lot more soldiers died.
True,
and a lot of people died.
Yeah,
because of the escalation. So it's not just saving JFK; it's saving countless lives.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Does he take that over saving
both Sadie. Vietnamese lives and American
lives. Yeah, I'm just
lives.
Saying it was killed. A lot of people died because of the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not making a political statement here. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
So does he do that? Cause I don't know. It's not a spoiler. I'm just wondering, cause it just seems like a lot of things happen to Jake to people that are around Jake. Will that be one of the things
mm-hmm.
he has to decide?
It could be, could very well be.
What would you decide?
It's kind of like one of those the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few kind of deal.
Okay.
But again, it's my whole thing is if time is pushing back that strong, and there's this very moving scene in which he's at a telephone booth calling his dad, I think, in the past.
Right.
And which, you know, if we've seen Back to the Future, it's a big no-no. But so the phone's like shorting out. He goes back again, and a car like plows through it, and a woman dies. As she's dying, she says, "You don't belong here." Right. So if time is going to push back that hard on something, will it even allow him to prevent the assassination from happening? That's my big question.
But I think this is what they're setting up with Sadie. He has to make that ultimate decision. Do I save Sadie or do I save all
So my question
people?
Would be, if time, like, and again, time travel technically doesn't exist, or at least as we know it right now, but I would think that time would be a lot like a moving body of water, right? It's moving forward.
Right.
You could put a rock in the middle of it, but the water's still going to go around the rock and go forward, right? So it might push things back.
You put a giant dam in front of it.
But eventually the water's going to win, right? Like that.
Yeah, you just keep going higher.
Yeah, I guess. But again, so how much more force do you have to exert to make something happen? But
right.
So that's what I would think. Would that be the tale of, you know, that you can't really change the past? You might be able to you know, move it around a little bit, but can you change something so significant?
Well, there has to be some kind of dramatic ending to this. They can't just go, okay, he just gets to the eighth episode and goes, nah, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what?
I
haven't read the book. I again, like you said in the beginning, I knew nothing about this.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be, I don't know. I'm kind of glad I haven't read the book, because it's definitely a new story. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to stay away from even reading anything remotely about the book, because I don't want to be spoiled. From what I've seen, people's comments, it follows it fairly well. There's some deviations, but it does follow it. So I'm trying to keep as spoiler free as possible. So the episode kind of closes out with him following this guy named George McKay. I'm sorry, not George McKay. It is
Bill
Turcotte, played by George McKay, right? I think.
Why was he following him?
Then it's not Bill. Bill is who's the guy the handler for Lee Harvey Oswald?
Oh, the CIA.
George de Morschenschild, played by Johnny Cogne.
George de Morschenschild.
But you know, in there's all these things where time's pushing back, and he actually caught on fire out in the past. So he kind of showed him all these things so James Franco could avoid it. But when he went back to the house he was staying at, that house burnt down, and the kid got burnt in the house. So time pushes back pretty tough. So he leaves, and then he decides to go to Kentucky to, if he's leaving, well, at least maybe he can prevent the bad things that happened to Harry.
Right.
And then we have the kill.
I think that was showing us that, hey, if he continues to do this, bad things are going to happen. I think
it does. Absolutely.
To me, it has to be Sadie. There's no, Bill, I think he'd be upset if something happened to Bill, but obviously if something happened to Sadie, he'd be upset.
Absolutely. Second episode, The Kill Floor, which focuses on, Harry's, family, follows his father, played very well by Josh Duhamel.
This was my favorite episode.
It was really good.
No, even though it goes away from the story, I mean, I don't know if it's probably in the book, but it gets away from the whole JFK thing. To me, I thought it was the best episode.
Well, because I think it's that we talk about that kind of gripping scene that grabs you into the thing is Harry's story about his family getting murdered. And this had just I think it was almost like a precursor for the bigger set piece that'll be whatever the day that JFK is assassinated or whatever he has to do to prevent JFK's assassination.
And Josh always plays, for me, Josh always plays a good guy.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he's not a good guy in this episode.
Oh, no. He's an abusive husband, pretty evil dude when it comes
he's just not a good guy.
No. So in the end, you know, he tries to influence him, saying, hey, you know, you don't have to do this kind of stuff or whatever. But he just has to end up killing him. And then we're kind of introduced to Bill, who Frank killed his sister and he got away with it. But to just a really dramatic scene in which he has to kill Frank, and the time's trying to push him back. You mentioned the whole diaper thing. He got sick that day.
Yeah.
Bill delays him, and then everything kind of goes wrong for him trying to stop Frank, but he ends up killing him with the cord.
Can I say this, though? If he's going to shoot Lee Harvey, work on his aim.
Yes.
Because Josh is a bigger target. Or Frank Dunning's a bigger target, and he hits him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Rookie mistake.
Yes. And,
you know, Frank is able to knock the gun out of his hand. They fight.
Yeah. Really intense. So,
He kills someone. Probably the worst. What you have to strangle someone is probably the, you know, that's, I've never killed anyone, but that's a, if you've never, I think that's a hard way to kill somebody.
That's a very personal death. Like, there's no, you killed somebody with your hands, almost, essentially.
But to be fair, if someone kept calling me Jakey, it wouldn't take much for me to kill him, because that's a derogatory. When you're saying that, you're being derogatory. You're being a jerk. Hey, Jakey.
Is that how you feel when people call you Jackie?
Oh, yeah. I want to turn, except when my family does it.
Does anybody really call you Jackie? That's only your family that calls you Jackie, right?
Yeah.
So
anymore.
Yeah. I thought
Annette O'Toole played when she was Ida, Etta, the lady that rented the place out.
Yes,
she was. I thought she was excellent.
So was the guy who played her husband, and he kind of told his war story.
Arliss, played by Michael O'Neill.
But
who's in The West Wing, by the way?
But yeah, I thought that was a really interesting, because it's, you know, talking about the Vietnam War or whatever, and this, you kind of had the in this 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, where they kind of. They talk about war heroes and stuff like that. Or it was almost like an action.
Well, he was talking about World War II, though.
He was. But I'm saying that kind of idealized view of war back then, right?
Yeah.
But now there's movies.
He didn't want to talk about being a war hero.
Exactly. And he told his story, you know, which was a pretty, you know, dark story. Yeah. Which, you know, there might be a lot of those types of stories for people back then. I mean, you look.
But also, he's telling the story about how to kill a man, and then later on, Jakey has to kill him.
Yep. So again, just to your point, it's kind of a standalone episode because it's kind of out of the context of the greater story, but a really good episode.
It could have been, if it was just one episode. This is like I would have loved that episode. I thought it was fantastic.
Yep. We then go to the next episode, which is Other Voices, Other Rooms, which you kind of Bill, the closing out episode of The Kill Floor was Bill having the burnt up paper from the JFK assassination.
JFK's assassination. Who are you? I'm from
which,
the future.
Again, that's a great close of the.
I've told you this already. But how did Jakey know when he pulled over to the side of the road there was a fountain there, a little spot?
I agree. I was like, it was pouring down rain. How do you see
pouring down
fountain?
Rain? He goes, oh yeah, I can wash this blood off.
Maybe
there's
a sign. Maybe there's a sign. If you free just
water,
killed a man and you need to wash your hands of the blood and face. There's a
if I had time, I would have gone back and looked to see if it said something about. Spigot.
I looked. I didn't see it. You good call out.
I thought he was pulling over because it's raining and I'm getting the whole Shawshank Redemption thing. I'm like,
yeah,
hey, that's okay. Oh wait, he's gonna wash his face off. Well, where did that come from?
Well, maybe he did get out. He was going to do the Shawshank, you know, kind of stand arms outstretched in the rain, and he saw, oh, there's a faucet there. I'll just use that.
Yeah, I'll just use that. It's less dramatic, but it does the job.
So the third episode kind of gets back to the focus of the JFK assassination. And Bill kind of becomes a sidekick. He gets a job at a local school, which the principal is played by none other than
Nick Searcy,
who is on which TV show?
Justified.
Justified.
Also, if you want to see someone who just goes at it with people on Twitter.
Oh, yes. He
literally just I follow him for that reason, because he just goes after people on Twitter. He spends all day long calling people names if they try to attack him. he's very, it's actually kind of funny because he doesn't take any guff from anybody. He's like, he is who I think he's portraying on these shows who he is.
Yeah, yeah. But
he's always a Deke or something like that, because he was, I think, from Earth to the Moon. He played Deke. He's on Earth to the Moon with Tom Hanks miniseries on HBO.
And this kind of follows him, you know, it actually kind of goes ahead 2 years too. And Sadie Dunhill comes back into his life, so that romance is there. Plus, they had a pretty sweet surveillance setup. Of Lee. I was like, man, they're kind of referring that, you know, the Japanese have gotten ahead in technology. I was like, wow, I didn't realize they had that cool of technology back then.
I guess they did.
Maybe that's where
Nixon learned a thing or two.
And then the last episode, The Eyes of Texas, goes in deeper.
Can we say something, though? Because we find out there's a relationship between Deke and Miss Mimi.
Right? Yes.
And it's something obvious they can't be. I like when he said, Miss Mimi, can I get you a cup of coffee? And everyone stops and looks like, you can't give her coffee.
Yeah. I mean,
and the scene where she runs out of gas and the guy won't give her gas. I was like, come on, really? But that's the way it was. I mean, it's
pre-civil rights movement, right? And again, you think it's not that long ago that
no,
that was
and you
very
go come
much
on.
A,
would you? I mean, would you turn anybody away that needed to buy gas? No.
Yeah. But again, it's just well, and an interesting thing too. It's on Hulu, so it kind of follows an HBO approach to things. So there's a lot of cursing and whatnot.
Right.
Because in that scene, he kind of Jake or his character kind of says what we're all feeling. He's like, "What's your effing problem?" You know, he's just like,
And the guy grabs his arm. The guy goes, "Hey, let go of me." But you know, Johnson did a lot for civil rights too. Not that Kennedy wouldn't. So.
No, I mean, it's you.
Would that have pushed it back at all?
Who knows, right? Who knows? Like, it's kind of like Kennedy's death. Did it push things further? You know, it's kind of like one of those like martyrdom kind of things.
I mean, I believe Kennedy probably would have gone forward with the civil rights. And
absolutely, yeah.
But I know Johnson did, so.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And then Eyes of Texas goes in deeper. The other voices of the rooms kind of closes out with Lee Harvey Oswald freaking out at a Wallace convention or whatever it was, saying he's a fascist. Because really
You're a fascist.
The first set is to see is there was an assassination attempt like, 6 months before on Wallace with the same gun. So to see if it actually was Lee Harvey Oswald, which, again, I don't know. I try not to look up stuff that much so I don't get spoiled. But I don't know if that's actually factual or not, or if it's just for the story.
I don't know. So I'm not looking up either. But Lee Harvey must have really spoke that way, because every actor talks like that.
With kind of like a Russian accent?
No, what are you talking about? You has that kind of...
I didn't realize that he defected to Russia. Like, I didn't realize you'd come back from defecting.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I did not know that.
That's part of the deal. He goes to Russia, defects to Russia, a Marine, and then they let him back in. Who would let this guy back in?
Yeah, that was why. Like, who would let
him? He must have had some... Especially back then.
Yeah.
I don't think you could defect to Russia now and come back in as easy as Lee Harvey did.
Yeah, exactly.
Lee Harvey, you are a madman. What movie?
Stripes.
There you go.
Eyes of Texas goes in deeper. There's a great scene with Jake and Bill following Oswald and George into a brothel.
That was a mistake.
Miss Mimi finds out Jake's... not what he says, then there's a funny bit where he's in the mafia. He's like, "What's the mafia?"
And she doesn't know. He goes, "Well, I'm in witness protection. I witnessed Michael Corleone killing his brother Fredo, fishing trip
in Lake Tahoe." So that was great.
You think if Miss Mimi, because I know she's sick, if she were to survive and eventually watches The Godfather, goes, "Huh."
Wait a second.
Or does Jake write The Godfather?
Well, again, we assume Jake gets out of there after hopefully preventing the JFK assassination or whatever happens.
I say JFK still gets assassinated and he saves Sadie.
I get your crackpot theory, proclivity for crackpot theories, but But I'm saying in his mind, he's like, well, I'm going to be gone before she figures out that, you know, I kind of stole the plot point here. She'll just forget about it. Who knows? Sadie's boyfriend comes back, or her husband comes back, and he's a bit of a weirdo.
Husband comes back.
Played by T.R. Knight of Grey's Anatomy fame.
Right. Grey's Anatomy!
But Jake kind of comes back at him pretty strong. And is that the last we see of that character?
That was the most believable. That was the most believable scene with him getting angry.
Yeah,
I believe that he was actually angry.
Yeah, it's like. So I
didn't get the bobby pin. I needed warm taffy next to my side. I go, okay.
Well, I assume maybe it's somewhere.
Clothespin.
Yeah, clothespin. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I'm like going, okay, but he seems like a sick person. But, you know, it's so funny back then that's how times have changed, that her mom told this abusive guy, husband, where to find his daughter.
Well, there's, like, I think before that Do You Want Some Coffee scene where there's a guy that's already kind of speaking for his girl, right? It's like, so he's already making answers
right.
for you. It's just different.
Yeah, but it just seemed... But you know, that's how times have changed. No, yeah. you're put on this earth to satisfy your husband, and whatever he does, that's the deal.
Yeah.
Again, it's just how times, you know, just really. There's still some people, unfortunately, believe that, but it's not as common as it was back then.
So really,
I would never send anybody who was abusive to go find. In fact, I'd probably pull out a gun and shoot him, but if I could.
Spoiler alert.
But I'm just saying, if it just seems who does that? But that's just the way the times were.
Yep.
Because getting a divorce was the worst thing in the world.
Right, yeah, it was a faux pas. It just didn't happen back then.
Yeah.
But after that confrontation, he does actually give him the divorce, said you guys deserve each other. But then there's kind of a very creepy ending with Sadie going into the house. The guy with the yellow card is in there. It was the guy with the yellow card.
Yeah, that's who was in there, yeah. Okay, so he was in there.
Yep. But then he
disappears. I'm like, Sadie, get out of the house. Get out of the house.
Yeah.
Get out of the house.
It's a Stephen King story, so there's always, you know.
Get out of the house.
You know, it's the classic, get out of there. Don't go in the basement. Why are you going in the basement?
Yeah, and then I go, oh, come on, Sadie. Come on.
Rule number one, don't go in the basement.
No, come on. But it's the 60s, and she's like, oh, that's right.
But down there in the basement is recordings of Oswald. Jake comes in the house, and then she's like, who are you? And that closes out.
Well, she's listening to Oswald and his wife.
Yeah.
Marina having sex.
Yeah. So I guess that's
so she's not really thinking, okay, this guy is a pervert.
One pervert to another pervert. Yeah,
exactly. That's what she's thinking. And she's thinking she's found the love is because, you know, even though Jake had heard these stories about her past. It didn't affect him that much. You know, where she'd be labeled for life because it's the 60s. You know, Jake's a modern man. That doesn't faze him.
Yes.
That's where it left it. I was like, no. Because I thought that episode of The Hole was the worst of the four.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended really well. It was like, oh, wait, what? I got to wait a week? No.
Yeah. So, I mean, again... really good show. Like, I really like it. It's got all the kind of stuff that I like, you know, conspiracies, mystery, a little bit of romance, a little bit of humor, some horror in there, some really intense situations, but time travel. So it hits a lot of the points that I think for shows that are fun to watch, fun to binge. Maybe we'll do a binge watch to kind of close out the show, maybe talking about it. But
I think that's a good idea. Now, how long does Bill live in this thing? Because Bill is smoking cigarettes like they're going out of style.
But didn't everybody smoke? I mean, I've seen Mad Men. Didn't everybody smoke cigarettes?
That's
like
true.
Going out
that's
of style
true.
Back then?
Bill, it was common, but Bill is just and Bill was abused as a child.
Yep.
I mean, he's got some nasty scars.
But yeah, I guess that was par for the course back then. You know?
But Bill has his eyes set for Marina.
Yeah, not a smart idea. I was like, nope. I'm like, come on, Bill.
Especially since he's told him several times, don't let yourself get involved with them.
Yes.
Of course, Jake did the same thing when he bought the car. He's he's falling in love with somebody. He probably shouldn't be falling in love with anybody.
Young people, man, they just make mistakes.
Yeah, I don't know. They just.
All right. Well, we do have an email that was sent to us for feedback for this episode. So let me pull that up now. I did have it up on this computer, but our internet has not been playing nice tonight. I blame you.
It is my fault.
But overall, Jack, what do you say? Giving a big thumbs up to the show, would you recommend it to other people?
I would highly recommend it.
I would as well. This is just
it's very well done.
Yep. And again, it's got a lot of just stuff that's an easy sell. You know, it's at least for the type of stuff that I like. And
well, anytime I like that Back to the Future type stuff where people go back in time. Could you? What happens if you course correct? What happens if you? You know, if it's like it's a whole argument. Okay, what if you went back and killed Hitler? Would that be a bad thing? People say, well, yes, because this could. How could that be a bad thing?
Yeah,
but you don't know what's going to happen when you do that.
Well, somebody else just take his place. Who knows?
But,
right?
Again, but millions and millions and millions of lives.
Hitler's almost like kind of like okay, you go. You kill
that's
him.
Like
there's
a no-brainer. Yeah. It's like okay, if I kill Hitler, what could possibly happen?
Yeah.
Now,
what could happen that's worse?
Someone
than
else
Hitler?
Could someone else get a nuclear bomb? The capability of another country that only you know because we did it twice, but would another country do it and just obliterate the world? And then there's no world. I don't know.
You never know. But this feedback is from Rebecca. Hi, Jay and Jack. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about 11-22-63. In the second episode, I was surprised that Jake was actually able to kill Frank, considering the examples we saw of Jake and Al being unable to alter events. Also, the story Al tells about being unable to change the fact that a girl was killed in a hunting accident, even though he tried to change the scenario multiple times, seems strange. If he couldn't change that, why does he think that Jake will be able to prevent Kennedy from being assassinated? Does Jake have an ability that Al didn't have? I have to assume that Frank's death and the fact that his wife and other two children survive must come to influence the outcome of the series in some way. Any theories, crackpot or otherwise, about what will happen as a result of Frank's death or why Jake was able to kill Frank in the first place. So that'll be an interesting thing when he gets back into modern time. Did it really change anything, or did somebody else kill them, or did they have a freak accident or something that killed them? What's your thoughts?
Just like Harry survived that, but he dies. He doesn't exist after that.
Or you know, talk about Back to the Future. Or is it when Marty comes back and everything's better? You know,
right
in the future. So what do you think's going to happen with that?
I think the reason he's able to kill because he knew information ahead of time. Mm-hmm. He knew when it was going to happen. So that gave him a little bit of edge on that. But maybe because, you know, when
and
Al
it wasn't
goes,
easy either. There was a lot of things that tried to prevent him from doing it.
Right.
Things
that were trying to stop him. You know, the kid dying in the fire and all the stuff that was happening before that that's trying to prevent him from, you know, he gets caught by... I'm assuming the Secret Service, you know, and all those bugs came flying out. His way out of just being an emotional fan. But I just lost my train of thought. But
do you think good outcome or bad outcome for Harry?
I think it could be a bad outcome.
Okay.
But I was going to say that, you know, Al went back several times. Mm-hmm. And you know he got burned, but you know he was able to give him information that he could use. So maybe Jake goes back several times, and maybe Jake doesn't solve it, but maybe Jake goes back, has to go back several times, and you know maybe, and then the next person comes along. So you learn something each time of what happened, because the same thing happened. There was a fire in the restaurant where Al got burned, mm-hmm. but Jake was able to avoid it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it has something to do with that guy, the newspaper guy. He has to. I would stop. I said, "Hey, what are you? Why don't I belong here? Who are you?"
That's a good point. Like, have a conversation with him. He's obviously something very creepy. he's too creepy to want to have a convo.
Maybe he was there before. Maybe he owned the restaurant before Al.
Oh, so he knows that way.
He knows.
He's just kind of lost in the past.
He's just lost in the past and doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't want to go back. Maybe he can't go back for some reason.
He walks among us, but he's not one of us.
There. That's it.
To quote one of the best episodes of Lost ever.
There you go.
Which is not the best. All right. Well, all in all, great choice by the patrons for a show. Definitely have enjoyed the show and definitely will recommend the show.
This is one I wish it was Netflix where they got to see them all.
I agree completely.
Even though I've kind of gone back and forth with it, but now that I'm kind of starting to watch shows more of like binge, I don't have a choice because we're doing binge watch and I'm falling behind on shows, so I have to go back and watch like 3 or 4 episodes. This is one I definitely want. Okay, I need to know what's. It's like a good book.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to know.
Yep. And it's just like, it makes it more cohesive, especially a show like this where there's just so much in there. Going straight through at least allows you to digest it better instead of like, okay, I gotta wait a week, and then you have to get yourself back in that mindset of, okay, what happened last time? Okay, this, and all right, let's go to it.
Because I watched 3 episodes, and I watched the first pilot, I was late, and then I watched the next 2 the next day, and I just happened to go on Hulu, then I go, wait, 4th one's up. Sweet. I bet I was going to have to wait until Monday or Tuesday.
And now we got a month to wait until it's all done.
Yes.
Because we got 4 more episodes left. So,
right.
But either way, I think this is a good candidate for a binge watch to close out the last 4 episodes. So good call everybody on the patron's choice. So it'll kind of move on to binge watch whenever we get to that or whenever it's all done. Because I think it's definitely a binge worthy show. Spoiler alert, I guess, to spoil the binge watch. Maybe it won't be binge worthy after the final 4. Maybe it doesn't land the plane.
Yeah, if the final episode is bad, say the final episode's like, that's it.
We'll still talk about it, I guess.
If still talk about it, I'd be disappointed, though.
All right. Well, that closes out this special Patron's Choice podcast. Again, kudos to everybody that picked this topic. It was a great one. Definitely enjoyed watching the show. And if you would like, you're already a patron. But if you join and pledge at the $15 a month, we do a special hangout once a month live that you can hang out, which is a lot of fun. At the $50 or more, we have a special package, and we thank you by name with each episode, which, by the way, thank you, Tack from Tokyo and Eckhart Richter, for contributing at a significant amount. We really appreciate it. But in all honesty, we appreciate everybody's contributions, whether it's a dollar or $1 million. It all helps to make this show possible.
If you pledge $1 million, we say your name at the beginning of the podcast and at the end.
We so if you gave $1 million,
how's that for incentive?
I would dedicate a podcast to you. We'll do a full season.
Whoa!
For $1 million bucks? Yeah, a whole season.
A whole season.
We'll do an HBO season, like 12
episodes. What if I don't like this person?
For $1 million, you can like them. Okay.
All right. Okay. Is it tax free?
Well, they pay the taxes, so it'd be like $1,500,000 for them or whatever. But a big thanks to all 123 of our patrons that contribute every single month. And the other things going on right now, I think Survivor is in full swing. So if you haven't checked out Survivor, JJ and Colleen, if you enjoy Survivor, check it out. It's a lot of fun. Also, Dale may have left the Married Man Show, but the Married Man Show will continue on with a series of guest hosts. Nick from our Game of Thrones podcast will be one of the guest hosts. Nick Dunn.
Our dear, dear, dear friend.
Dear, dear friend. Chris in Boston, who is another dear friend from Media Junkyard, as well as an old forum member back in the early days of the Lost podcast.
I don't know if he's an old forum member.
I mean, he's old now by this point, I think, right? 10 years.
You're right. He is old.
I look at you 10 years ago and you now. You're definitely old now. If you weren't old before, you're old now. You're the before and after for poor Al going back in time and coming back. also, Shut Up Tim, who's on The Tribe, does many other things within the Survivor community. I think he'll be a great co-host. And then Brian Verderosa from Talking Comics podcast and Talking Movies podcast. Which again, I think all in all, everybody has a different personality. I think they bring a different vibe to the show, and these round of guest hosts will close out the rest of this season of the Married Man Show. So excited about that. Among many other things, Amazing Race is still in full swing with Jack and Cindy. You can also check out Jack and Cindy's Downton Abbey podcast for the last episode.
Final episode
of Downton Abbey.
We're going to record tomorrow. So the final episode of Downton Abbey will be recorded tomorrow.
Oh, awesome. You have some feedback.
Sad to see, sad to see it go.
Will there be any spinoffs or anything like Downton Abbey and the Next Generation? Or is that will you discuss that on the podcast?
Julian Fellowes is doing a show where it's based in New York, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So might have to wait and see. We are doing Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
She really wanted to do Dancing with the Stars. I said, sure, my dancing, you know, being a, you know.
That,
when you think dancing, you think me.
Maybe that'll be a topic on the next Married Man show.
Yeah. Well, I think it could be fun. You know, she likes Dancing with the Stars.
I know
I
she
said,
does.
Why don't you and Heather do it? But... We'll give it a shot. We'll give it a shot, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure, what's his name? Bergeron, the host. He doesn't know anything about dancing, right?
I guess.
So,
definitely seems like a show you picked out. Definitely.
And Erin Andrews, does she know how to dance? I don't know. But it has sports people on the show. So it has Von Miller.
Listen, whatever you got to tell yourself.
Sure, I'll do it.
Walking Dead with three stupid guys.
Recording tonight.
So, and really anything else, we have a whole enchilada feed with all of our shows, or you can subscribe to these shows individually. And again, we won't be able to do these shows without your contributions over at patreon.com/JayandJack. All right, guys, that does it for this patron's choice. We'll see you next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.